concept of it, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. But in actuality, these benefits are bestowed by me alone, purport. The demigods cannot award benedictions to the devotees without the permission of the Supreme Lord. The living entity may forget that everything is the property of the Supreme Lord, but the demigods do not forget. So the worship of the demigods and the achievement of desired results are not due to the demigods, but to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by arrangement. The less intelligent living entity does not know this, and therefore he foolishly goes to the demigods for some benefit. But the pure devotees, when in need of something, prays only to the Supreme Lord. Asking for material benefit, however, is not a sign of a pure devotee. A living entity goes to the demigods usually because he is mad to fulfill his lust. This happens when something undue is desired by the living entity, and the Lord himself does not fulfill his desires. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that one who worships the Supreme Lord at the same time desires material enjoyment is contradictory in his desires. Devotional service to the Supreme Lord and the worship of a demigod cannot be on the same platform, because worship of a demigod is material and devotional service to the Supreme Lord is completely spiritual. For the living entity who desires to return to Godhead, material desires are impediments. A pure devotee of the Lord is therefore not awarded the material benefits desired by less intelligent living entities, who therefore prefer to worship demigods of the material world rather than engage in devotional service of the Supreme Lord. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. So, this beautiful verse and purport from the 7th chapter entitled Knowledge of the Absolute, Krishna is comparing the difference in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly and the various demigods. So Prabhupada quotes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishay sukh amrita chadi vishay mage ebada murkh. So Krishna says that one who worships me and at the same time he asks for something material is a very foolish. So then Krishna says, Ami vigyai murkhe vishay kena diba swacharanamrita diya vishay bhulaiba. So Krishna says, this person may be foolish that instead of asking for pure love, he is asking for material benedictions. But I am intelligent. Ami vigya ei murke vishay kene diba. Why should I give him sense gratification? He is asking for poison. Why should I give him poison? So he says, swa charanamrita diya. I will give him the dust of my lotus feet. I will give him the nectar of my lotus feet. And by tasting that, vishay bhulaiba, he will forget everything material. So therefore, in this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is expressing his supremacy in the middle 7 chapters and is inspiring Arjuna to directly engage in devotional service or bhakti, which is the main theme of the Bhagavatam. Dharma projita kaitavatra paramo nirmat saranam satam. So this is the main shloka, where it is the subject matter, Vishayavastu shloka, where the subject matter of Bhagavatam is described, that the subject matter is Krishna and the process is bhakti, and everything else which is contrary to bhakti is rejected by the Bhagavatam. So therefore this first, the 7th to 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that has the theme of devotional service or bhakti. So we find that a living entity is inspired to practice pure devotional service by both Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and all through the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the reason being that this is the highest experience which a jiva can have within this material world. So Bhagavatam says, Yan asthaya narorajan na pramadyet karhichit dhavan nimilyavanetre na patetana skhalete. So 11th canto describes very beautifully that when a living entity is on the path of bhakti, the bhakti is a very, very pure and attractive path for a jiva to follow. Dhavan nimilyavanetre, He says you can run with your eyes closed. Na patet, you will neither fall. Na skhalet, you will neither slip. Because this process is so sure. So the Acharyas, Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami explained that the two eyes closed, it basically refers to what? It refers to that a practicing devotee may not understand all the elements of rules and regulations in devotional service, and he may make mistakes in following any of those. But still, he may not know fully Shruti and Smriti. But because he is helped by Krishna from within the heart, he will ultimately be victorious. And that's what Bhagavatam says, that Narayana Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Tato Jayam Udirayat. Jayam refers to victory. And the greatest victory, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares in his Shikshashtakam, is Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. And the greatest victory is not just mukti, not just liberation, but going beyond liberation is the experience of prema, which one gets in association with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has appeared 500 years ago as the Supreme Lord to give us the love of prema. So therefore, we find that in previous Yuga avatars, this privilege was not there, but when Krishna appears as Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, he gives us prema. So therefore, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is specifically requesting all of us that if given an opportunity between worshipping a demigod who can give something within this material world and Krishna who can give us prema from the spiritual world, so naturally we should aspire for that prema. So therefore, we find here that by worshipping Krishna, Krishna says to Arjuna, then further in the 9th chapter, that Kauntaya Pratyanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. That my dear Arjuna, the advantage of worshipping me is my devotee shall never perish. Kaunteya pratyanihi name bhaktah pranashyati. My devotee will never perish. So what does it mean? Krishna protects a devotee in various situations which a worshipper of a demigod will not get that benefit. The first situation in which Krishna protects a devotee is he protects a devotee in situations of ignorance. When a devotee may not have full knowledge of all the different rules and regulations of devotional service. He may be in ignorance, he may not be in full knowledge. Like for example, when the Vishnudutas came to receive Dhru Maharaj. So at that point, Dhru Maharaj got little bewildered by the fact that the Vishnudutas suddenly appeared and he did not know the right method to receive them and worship them. And because he was bewildered, he just chanted the holy names. And simply by chanting the holy names, that the two Vishnudutas who came accepted his worship. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that in certain situations of doubt, a devotee may just chant the holy names and the Lord accepts that. And he adjusts whatever may be missing in terms of his offering to the Lord, because the Lord is so merciful. So we also find that when Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON all over the world, there were situations when people were not fully aware of all the rules and regulations. But still, Srila Prabhupada encouraged them to chant Hare Krishna and worship the deities. In some temples, when Prabhupada established the deities, the devotees were so new that they had no idea. Like Praladanand Maharaj was telling me the story that when he came in and he was given charge of worshipping the deities, he was not even told in detail who these deities were. So he was worshipping Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. And Prabhupada sent him a letter saying, how was the worship going and everything. And he sent a letter to Prabhupada, everything is fine. I just have one question. Whom am I worshipping? Who are these deities? Who are they whom I am worshipping every day? And then the pujari who came in and he left. So Prahladanand Maharaj said he came in at a point where the pujari was just leaving and he was just told that you offer dhupa, you offer deep, you offer this, that. But he forgot to tell him for how long. So the first aarti he said, just the agarbati was offering for half an hour. And then the deepa is offered for another half an hour. The whole aarti took 2 hours. And then he calculated, if I have to offer 6 offerings, 6 aartis, how long it's going to take. Then he clarified. And then he figured out that yes, there is some mistake. And then he understood. So also in another temple, you know, devotees are quoting, Prabhupada said, wherever worship is going on very well, tulsi plant will go very high. So someone came and gave, you know, some plant and they thought it is tulsi plant. And they are worshipping like anything. And then it is growing like anything. So they were very happy. And someone came and said, this is bamboo plant, not tulsi plant. So here, we find that Krishna, he sees the sincerity in the heart of the devotees. So in the material life, what is valued is skills. So the power of one's skills and the power to speculate is many times rated higher. Whereas in devotional service, submission and sincerity is rewarded more than skills and speculation. So therefore, if one is simply submissive to Krishna, because of that fact, one receives Krishna's benedictions. So here we find that this is the principle of Ajnana Raksha. Krishna protects one even in case we do not have the full knowledge. Then second is that sometimes a devotee may make a mistake and that's called a truti raksha. Devotee may make a mistake and because of that mistake he is in a difficult situation. Like for example, we have Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj was extremely powerful, extremely learned, and he had practically conquered over the entire three worlds. So we find here in the 8th canto that Bali Maharaj actually defeated practically everyone. And the Bhagavatam describes that he was the most powerful conqueror in the entire 14 planetary systems. So the question arises that why did Lord Vamanadeva deal with Bali Maharaj in this fashion? So the answer is given that Bali Maharaj developed a pride in his heart. That was the biggest mistake, that he started thinking that I am special, I am great. So because of that, Vamanadeva humbles him. And when Vamanadeva humbles him by actually spreading his body over the entire three worlds and humbling him, Bali Maharaj responds by saying, Jai Shri Radha Gopi Vallabh Bhagwan ki. Pumsam shlaghyatamam manye dandam arhattam arpitam yamna mata pita bhrata suhrdascha dishantihi. He says that, my dear Lord, in history of creation, many masters have punished their servants, many fathers have punished their sons, many dependents have been punished. But I don't think anyone in history has ever been punished the way you punished me. So he says, you are not only the supreme personality of Godhead, I consider you the supreme personality of punishment. But I consider your punishment to be absolute. Pumsam shlaghyatamam, I consider your punishment to be worshipable. Shlaghyatamam manye, your punishment is worshipable, it is purifying. Dandam arhattam arpitam yamna mata pita bhrata purushascha dishantihi. So therefore, the Lord detects the pride in a devotee's heart and then sometimes he corrects the devotee and he sees that the devotee is making some mistake and he protects the devotee. Exactly similar case we find in Sudama's pastimes. Shushrushaya paramaya pada samvahanadibhi pujito deva devena vipra devena devavat. That in Sudama's case, Sudama was so poor he went to Krishna and Krishna gives him riches which Sudama has never imagined. So many times people feel that this is a very good pastime of Sudama because it is showing rags to riches story. But Jiva Goswami Pad writes that the reason Krishna gave these riches to Sudama was Sudama had a pride in his heart. What was Sudama's pride? Sudama felt that no one is poorer than me. That was Sudama's pride, that I am the poorest. And Sudama felt that I don't need anyone. I don't need anything. I am totally detached. And because of that, there was a kind of impersonal feeling which had crept in his heart. Because Sudama just felt that I am totally independent. So then Krishna actually served him with so much of love. And therefore, Pujito Deva Devena Vipra Devena Devavat. So Shobhute Vishwabhavena Swasukhena Bhivandita Jagama Swalayam Tata Patham Anuvrajjanandita. And as Sudama is going towards his home, he is remembering Krishna's wonderful reciprocation, where Krishna embraced him, offered him a seat. Even Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune in the form of Rukmini Devi, was offering chamar. And Sudama was offered the throne of Krishna at Dwarka. And just by remembering the wonderful reciprocation, the respect which Krishna gave, Sudama's heart melts and it's overwhelmed. And Sudama just feels that I am a servant of Krishna. And Sudama overcomes that pride. And when he goes home, he sees that he has such a beautiful palace. And Sudama first thinks, I have come to someone else's house. And then he sees his own wife coming out. And then he recognizes that I have become a rich person. And after receiving those riches from Krishna, Sudama is humbled because he is no longer the poorest. So therefore, Jiva Goswami says that the riches were given by Krishna to Sudama not to make him rich, but to make him humble. So one may think that in Bali Maharaj's pastime, Krishna took away Bali Maharaj's riches. And in Sudama's pastimes, Krishna gave Sudama riches. So it may appear to be exactly opposite sides of the pole. But the theme is same, that in both, Krishna wanted his devotee to be humble. So that's the most important principle. And so we find that that's what is the jiva situation when he takes shelter of Krishna and becomes connected to the sampradaya. And therefore, when we are initiated, we get the name Das. After initiation, we get the name Das, means we are servant. And servant means that we want to be humble and we want to just be the Lord's servant of the servant. Like in one initiation ceremony, devotees, after initiation, they were discussing, I got this name, I got that name, this name is better than that name, you know. And Prabhupada said, the most important part of your name is Das. Right? So one more devotee, Hamsadutta Prabhu, his name before coming to ISKCON was Hans Carey. So it was a German name. So he didn't, like people would ridicule him many times here, saying that, oh, you're from Germany. And so he was always wanting a different name. So when the time for initiation came, he was very happy that I'll get a different name. Right? So you know, for different people are from different parts. So like, for example, if you're from South India, you know, you have long names in India. Kanakapati, Apalachalam, Sankari Lingam, Zagapati, Raju. That's like one name. You go to make a passport, they think it's two people's passports. And you go to China, it is simple name, Hu. That's it. So when Prabhupada gave him the name, he gave him the name Hamsaduta Adhikari. So he said, what's that name, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, add Duta to your previous name. Hans Duta. And his second name was Carry. He said, add Carry, Adhi Carry. So he said, Are, even after initiation, my name is same. So what is the meaning of this? Prabhupada said, read Bhagavatam. So he started reading Bhagavatam. He couldn't get his name, you know, anywhere there. So he was still wondering, what's the meaning? And one day after initiation, Prabhupada was discussing with devotees. And Prabhupada was saying, Kirtananda means this, Brahmananda means this. So he thought, today is a good chance. He came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, who is Hamsaduta? Prabhupada said, you. And then Prabhupada said, the most important part of your name is Das. So therefore, we begin as Das. But to realize that I am Das, that's extremely difficult. So therefore, Krishna protects his devotee, even if sometimes he makes a mistake, because Prabhupada says there are two types of pure devotees. One who is fully pure, and second, one whose intention is to be pure. And because our intention is to be pure, so Krishna always encourages us. So therefore, this is a very, very important principle. So Vamandev, he asks Shukracharya, Are Shukracharya, you planned everything so perfectly for your disciple. Everything worked out, you know, as per your plan till a certain stage, and then everything failed. Why? What happened? Why it all collapsed? So then Shukracharya, he says, he's the most powerful Smartha Brahman, Prabhupada says in the purport. And he says that actually, you know, as far as you're concerned, my dear Lord, whenever your names are chanted, mantratas, tantratas, chidra, desha kalara vastuta, sarvam karoti nishchidram anusankirtanam tava. Even if there is some discrepancy in some activity during worship, but as soon as holy name is chanted, everything is taken care. So therefore, the Lord always protects in case of any mistake. Like Sahadev was one of the Pandavas. He was very good with astrology. So Duryodhan was so crooked, he goes to Sahadev and says to Sahadev that you are a great astrologer, you foresee the future. So you please give us some mantra or some puja by which the Kauravas, we can be victorious, we can defeat you. And Sahadev was also so simple, he just shared very openly that on Amavasya day, on the new moon day, you do this Kalabali Yajna, you will be always successful. So Duryodhana is very excited because another couple of days Amavas was coming. So Krishna became very much bewildered because Krishna thought, I have to save the Pandavas. So Krishna came near the bank of Yamuna, collected a few Brahmanas. It was not Amavas, but Krishna started offering oblations to his forefathers, Tarpan. And that's usually done on Amavas day only. It is done on new moon day. So the pujaris were little bewildered that why is Krishna performing this puja on this day? It is not the new moon day. So they started talking to each other. Why is Krishna doing this? They said, we don't know. He is the Krishna, he is doing it. And anyway, we'll get our dakshina. So if he is inspiring us to do it, let's do it. So seeing four or five people do, others also join. And then few others joined, and within moments, thousands of pujaris were sitting with Krishna, offering oblations to forefathers. From the skies, Surya and Chandra, the sun and moon, were watching this scene. And Suryadev asks Chandra, when is Amavas? When exactly is this new moon day? Chandra says, even I am confused. I thought it is after 2 days. But these fellows are doing all this today, so looks like there is some mistake. So they said, let's go and confirm. So both Surya and Chandra come down and take Krishna on the side and say, hey, Amavas is after 2 days. Why are you doing today? Krishna says, what is the definition of Amavas? Amavasya means the day where Surya and Chandra are in straight line. That is Amavas, which is right now. You are standing in straight line. So you just stand like this. Krishna called the Pandavas and he said, do the Kalabali Yajna now. And made them do it there on that spot. And they got the benefit of doing that Yajna. And Duryodhan, after 2 days, as per Panchang, was doing it. And he didn't know that the day had already passed. So therefore, Krishna intervenes in his devotees' lives. And even if they make mistakes, Krishna can convert that into their victory. So therefore, here it is described that Ekale Erupe Achandale Kirtana Sanchare Nam Prema Malaganti Podela Sansare. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared from the spiritual world with the garland of holy name strung, a garland of prema strung on the thread of Harinam Sankirtan. And therefore, anyone who takes shelter of the Harinam Sankirtan in this age of Kali, even if there is some discrepancy, even if there is some shortcoming, it is taken care. So therefore, it is very beautifully described that this is the Yuga Dharma for this age. Bhattacharya kahe ei madhura kirtan, Chaitanyara srishti ei prema sankirtan. This is created by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is called prema sankirtan. Kalikale dharma krishna nama sankirtan saito sumedha ar kolihatajan. And in this age of Kali, it is the dharma. And it is meant for each and every person in this age of Kali. One who chants the holy name is intelligent. Otherwise, one will be bitten by the ill effects of Kali. Devotees were doing Harinam Sankirtan in Australia. And they were caught and put inside the jail by the police. And they wrote a letter to Prabhupada that, you know, the lawyer is asking $7,000. Prabhupada said, don't pay anything to lawyers. You just chant Harinam in the jail. You just chant Harinam, you will be released. So they started chanting Harinam Sankirtan. And by seeing them chant Harinam Sankirtan, other prisoners also joined. Because they were feeling bored and they thought this is a nice way, you know, entertaining. And then gradually the jail guards also started chanting. The guards were also chanting. And one day the jail supervisor came. And when the jail supervisor entered, one of the jail guards met the supervisor and said, Hari Bol. And the jail supervisor was bewildered. That, Hare, how is this guard saying Hari Bol? What's going on? And he made an investigation and found out that devotees are chanting Harinam. So he called the devotees and said, I am releasing you right now. So devotees said, why? Said, you guys are more dangerous inside the jail than outside. So when they were brought in front of the judge, after some days, the judge said, what's the problem? And they said that we are not allowed to take a parade in the most important street of Australia. And therefore we are moving around here and there aimlessly, chanting on the streets. You give us permission for our parade, then you see. So immediately that judge gave order for Rath Yatra to be conducted everywhere. So through Harinam Sankirtan they went in the jail. While coming out, they came out with permission for Rath Yatra. That's called best use of a bad bargain. So therefore, we find that Maharaj Parikshit in the first canto is such a pious person. And the most ironic thing is Parikshit at the time of birth is saved and protected by Krishna. So the Brahmastra is shot by Ashwatthama and Krishna enters into the womb of Uttara in the form of a small, tiny, four-handed form. Angushtam matram amalam spurat purata maulinam apivya darshanam shyamam tadita vasasam achyutam. And it is described that Krishna was only the size of a thumb and he was bluish in complexion and his clothes were effulgent like lightning and tadita vasasam achyutam, and he was extremely effulgent and attractive. And so Parikshit knew all his life that I have been saved and protected by Krishna at the time of birth. So one of Parikshit's favorite names was Vishnurata. Vishnurata means one who is protected and saved by Krishna. Tasmat namna Vishnurata iti loke bhavishyati na sandeho mahabhaga mahabhagavato mahan. So therefore, Parikshit means someone who's always examining Krishna. And Parikshit was very proud of the fact that he was protected by Krishna at the time of birth. So that is Parikshit's birth, that he is protected by Krishna. But then he makes a small mistake. He throws a dead snake over the shoulders of Shamik Rishi, and then he is cursed to die in 7 days and seven nights. So now, if you consider that Parikshit's name is Vishnurata, one who is protected by Krishna, and now he is cursed to die in 7 days and seven nights, which is the greatest calamity. So therefore, Parikshit says, Tasyaiva meghasya paravaresho vyasakta chittasya griheshu abhikshnam nirveda mulo dvijishaparupo yatra prasakto bhayamashudhatte. That my dear Lord, you are so merciful to me that you have protected me from my material attachments. And at least because of this curse, I am going to forcibly detach myself from this material world and take shelter of your katha and your association of devotees. Nirveda mulo dvijashapa rupo. So Parikshit was pious, he was young, he was protected by Krishna. Everything he did right, but he made a small mistake. But then, was that sufficient for him to be cursed like this? What was the reason? Is Krishna not consistent in his protection of devotees? Krishna is Vishnurata, one who protected Parikshit, is Vishnurata. Vishnurata, one who is protected by Lord Vishnu. So what happened? Why was Parikshit now not protected? Why Parikshit is now being allowed to be killed? So one may wonder, is the Lord's protection inconsistent? No. Bhagavatam explains, there is only one thing which is always victorious in this creation. There is only one thing which is supreme in this creation. What is that? Yuyutsatam kutrachit atatayinam. That is Krishna's will. Lord's will is always victorious. Krishna's will is infallible. Krishna's will is supreme. Krishna's will is irrefutable. Krishna's will is absolute. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is simply a beautiful tapestry of display of Krishna's will and how different categories of people deal with that will, reciprocate with that will. Pure devotees completely submit themselves, submerge themselves and swim in that fast-flowing river of Krishna's will. And the demons, they try to dam that will, and they try to stop it, they oppose it, and thus they are swept away and they are defeated and destroyed. And the sadhakas, like us, we are checking out the water to see whether it is good enough for us to enter. So therefore the pure devotees are great because they submit themselves to Krishna's will. And therefore Bhagavatam is revealing that one thing is guaranteed. You may never be able to understand Krishna's will. And don't try to understand Krishna's will. Try to submit to His will and try to serve His will. If we try to understand why Parikshit Maharaj was cursed like this and why at that moment Krishna did what he did, one can never understand Krishna's will. One can only submit to his will. So that's a very important principle which is described here. So this is as far as protecting devotees from mistakes is concerned. And then finally Parikshit Maharaj became the instrument for Bhagavatam to be born. So previously Krishna wanted the Brahmastra. Krishna protected Parikshit from Brahmastra, but then his will changed and he did not protect him from the Brahma Shapa. So therefore Krishna at that time of Parikshit's birth wanted the Brahmastra to be destroyed and Parikshit to be born. Now Krishna's will changed. He wanted Parikshit to be destroyed and the Bhagavatam to be born. And in the sense that he wanted Maharaj Parikshit to become an instrument for the Srimad Bhagavatam to be manifest. So therefore, it's a very beautiful principle that Krishna is always merciful to protect his devotees even if they make sometimes some mistakes. The third principle is that Krishna protects devotees even when they have certain anarthas. Anarthas. Anarthas means that which you do not get anything in return. when you give it as a currency. Like for example, if I give some other currency in America apart from dollar, I can't buy anything in return directly. So artha means that for which I get something in return. Anartha means that where the currency is defunct. So therefore, at the gates of the spiritual world, if I stand with the currency of I am great, I am powerful, I am influential, you know, I am an enjoyer, greed, pride, lust, envy, anger, all of these, if I show at the gates of Golok, then I cannot purchase anything in return there. So therefore, it is a defunct currency in the spiritual world, therefore it's called anartha. So therefore, we are going through what is known as anartha nivritti. So therefore, anartha raksha means Krishna protects his devotees from anartha, and the best example is Ajamil. Ajamil was pious, but then he had difficulties, and then he chanted the names of his son Narayan, and Vishnudutas came and protected him at the last moment. When Yamdutas were just dragging him, he was protected by the Vishnudutas. Like, finally, Ajamil, he got to hear the dialogue between Vishnudutas and Yamadutas. Mriyamano harernam grinna putropacharitam ajamilopiagadhama kimpunashadhyagrinan. So the Ajamil pastime describes that Ajamil chanted his son's name only at the time of death. Ajamil called out to his son, not to the holy name. He called out not Lord, but he called his son. And Ajamil was breaking principles till the time of death. He was still sinful. And number four, Ajamil never heard glories of holy name. In spite of that, Ajamil got benefit of Krishna's protection. Still he got protection. Therefore, Ajamil is an example of how Krishna protects devotees even when they may make certain mistakes. So therefore, Truti Raksha, Krishna protects devotees from mistakes. One boy was talking to me and he was telling me that you are talking about so many Mahajans in Bhagavatam, but my favorite Mahajan is Ajamil. He is my hero. I said, why is your hero? And he said, he managed his life perfectly. His management I like very well. I said, why, what happened? He said, he enjoyed like anything and he went back to Godhead also. I wish I can also manage like that. So I said, that can be pretty risky. Don't take chances. So therefore, these anarthas basically mean that we are always under the influence of these unwanted tendencies like greed, pride, envy, anger. And so there is so much of competition in this world, right? And everyone is influenced by the tendencies of comparing and complaining and criticizing. Just like in Mumbai, there is a 5-star hotel, hotel president, and you go and try to eat one chapati, it will cost you 150 rupees. It is so expensive. Just by seeing the rates, your stomach will be full. So right outside this hotel president, one gentleman had put up one stall on a 4-wheeler hand cart, and he was selling, you know, some pakodas and samosas and things like that. And he called this 4-wheeler hand cart hotel vice president. And his marketing pitch was, if you can't afford the president, come to the vice president. And there was a long line. Because this material world means there is competition and there is envy and there is a whole sense that I have to be great. So therefore, that's described, Shrutam cha drishtavat dushtam spardha asuya atyaya vyayehi. You know, our Brahmatirtha Prabhu, he met one scientist or somebody in a conference. He exchanged business card, and the business card had his educational qualification, PhD BF. He said, what's this? Never heard it. He said, this means PhD but fail. He said, what kind of a strange education qualification is that? He said, what to do? My father wanted me to be PhD. So I registered for it. I didn't have the stuff required. dropped out. But I wanted to attend these conferences. Everyone asks business card. If they don't see PhD, they are suspicious. So I added BF also. But in fact, you are the first person who's asking me. Otherwise, everyone thinks it is a degree beyond PhD. So therefore, anartha raksha means Krishna protects us from the greatest of all anarthas or unwanted impurities. Because Krishna is only inspired by our love and affection. So therefore, ta Krishna vahe vasudeva agate svayam vyavartanta yatha tamorave. So in the 10th canto Bhagavatam, Krishna appears in front of Vasudev. Who is Vasudev? Tatascha shauri bhagavat prachodita sutam samadaya cha suchita sukitsutika grihat. It is interesting that Vasudev's background is he could not even protect his wife from attack. He could not protect his 6 sons from attack. From the time of marriage, he could not offer a simple decent dwelling to his family. So as a Kshatriya, Vasudev is a classic failure. Kshatriya means Kshat Trayate iti Kshatriya. One who is successful in protecting is called Kshatriya. So from that paradigm, if you analyze Vasudev, what were his achievements in protection? He couldn't protect his wife, he couldn't protect his children. One student in IIT was asking me, "Are you are talking about the Akashwani, which said that keep, the 8th son will be responsible for the killing of Kamsa." So this boy was talking to me and he was saying, "Are Kamsa made a big mistake." I said, "What? Why he had to do all this drama? The simplest thing was he should have kept Vasudev in one jail, Devaki in another jail. So no question of 6 sons only. What to speak of 8th son? Didn't he get this simple idea?" I said, "He didn't go to IIT. What can he do here?" So actually speaking, to lose 6 sons was heavy. But Vasudev is described here as Shaurihi. Shauri means brave. Why he is brave? Because he was optimistic. So optimism is the greatest bravery. So it is described by Sridhar Swami, if you are not an optimist, you are an atheist, because you think you can control everything for the future. So Vasudev is considered the greatest ashavadi, that after this he was willing to go through the pain of the killing of the 6 sons so that Krishna could finally be born. And when Krishna is born, Krishna tells him, "You protect me." I have no record of protection, but no, I will empower you. Ta Krishna vahi. As soon as he picks up Krishna, all the gates open up and then he just walks across the Yamuna. So therefore, as soon as we chant Krishna's holy name early in the morning, immediately all the various obstacles are removed, and the most impossible things we have never done before, we can actually start doing simply by the empowerment of the holy name within our heart. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, let us take shelter of Shri Shri Radha Gopi Vallabh Bhagwan and understand that all demigods, the 33 crore demigods, are simply parts and parcels of their Supreme Lord, and we should just become their eternal servants. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.